Hard Truth Tony Schaefer, powered by Six Hour. Never settle. I had a choice of what I carried in combat. I always carried the best. I recommend you carry the best. The best is Six Hour. Never settle. I've got my trusty P320 45 carry here next to my side, ready to go rock and roll if I need it. Just saying, you never can tell who's going to come up. Anyway, so go with Six Hour, never settle, do with the best. And we are on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, also available on the America Out Loud Podcast Network. Check us out, Project Sentinel, projectsentinel.com and .net. And we are on Rumble, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. So I have a special treat today for the audience, a return interviewee, friend of the show, friend of mankind, Brigadier General retired Blaine Holt. Blaine Holt, my God, I had to check his bio out today. I'm just going to say, go over to Restore Liberty and Google Blaine Holt. And you know, he is, I am proud to say, a general officer who actually did something to get to earn his stars rather than just be given them based on the fact he looked good in polyester. So, General Holt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And just to mount on what you said there, I've got my trusty six-hour P365 here next to me.
Hoo-ah! Well, that's good. And my pocket carry is a 365. So I get that too. So Blaine, thank you for joining us. Man, oh man, at the time we're taping this, we literally are seeing the world on the brink of either economic collapse, political collapse, the World War III. It's kind of like someone elected a guy to office who is mentally compromised and had taken bribes, and he's in charge. It's almost like that. What do you think?
It's so much like that. It might just be that.
That's right.
I vote for answer D, all of the above, because, and you know, our friend, Catherine Herridge, she said at the beginning of the year, we might see a black swan event. And the only thing I would take exception to that great lady on is, Catherine, I don't see a black swan. I see a flock of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things stem from, a Biden administration that we find out every day more and more just how compromised they are, not whether or not they're compromised.
So that, to that point, you know, I don't believe history repeats itself, but I do believe it samples. And so one of the sampling I see before us is kind of demonstrated in the record low numbers of Joseph Robinette Biden. Apparently he's at 38%. I think it's lower personally. That is Carter level disapproval numbers or approval. That's approval numbers. And parallel to that, obviously, and I, you know, you and I are friends with a lot of the old Reagan guys. And I talked to them and they're still around. And, you know, there was a malaise that set in the Carter administration. Basically people were pretending that the Russians weren't a threat. I'm not saying the Russians are a threat now. I'm saying that when Russians really were a threat, people were ignoring it. There was a lack of interest in actually creating a military that could effectively fight, much like we're seeing today. As a matter of fact, the headline yesterday was Army's cutting out like 25% of its strength because reasons. Apparently, they can't recruit people. Do you see the fact that we're being presented with a global array of enemies such as the Iranians, the Chinese, and dare I say, you know, even the Russians, if I think they thought somehow they could get away with something. Do you think cutting because we can't recruit, do you think instead of admitting we can't recruit and changing the tactic, we just cut numbers? Do you think that's the right strategy for the Army?
Not only is it the wrong strategy, I think we should start questioning motives. when you start to look at a problem like recruiting, where you and I have gone over the year is, hey, maybe Marxism, an illegal vaccine policy, disgracing veterans in uniform with Valor devices who decided they didn't want an experimental drug. Maybe getting rid of the meritocracy is not going to yield great retention and recruitment numbers. Now, what we would say on the outside, and this is to the questioning motives part, is, well, why would you do that? Because one of your motivations could possibly be that you're actually interested in weakening our military, that we have watched general officers get to high levels of promotion, not based on achievement, but based on how quickly they can answer the words yes. And we know this because look at the disastrous failures of Afghanistan. Rather than seeing military leaders stand up and say, this is inappropriate, I resign in protest, we saw the opposite. We saw those that presided over America's so far largest military disaster get promoted to new ranks. And now the answer is, well, let's go ahead and just cut the billets that we can't recruit.
I know, it's insane.
And what we need to do is we need to question the motives to say, if you're not about weakening our military, then what are you about? Because it does look on the outside that you're making every single correct decision to decimate American power and American deterrence.
And that's interesting because the way they're trying to say it, it's like, oh, well, you know, we're cutting all these counterinsurgency and counterterrorism billets. Like, I don't think terrorism's gone anywhere. I don't know. Did I miss the memo on that?
It's here now. It's on our soil. It's
like, man, did I like sleep through that or something? I don't know. So it's, and by the way, I miss the old days when we didn't have these challenges. I remember, you know, I used to be a planner. You've probably been to Camp Smith, right? And there's that staircase that goes kind of from the command area where they have the meetings and down to the parking lot. There's just stairs. And I used to try to get Air Force and Army officers to run up and down that thing and see if blue or green polyester chafed more. Why can't we have those days back?
We need that kind of planning.
We do. Yeah. So, but let's go to, yes, let's,
you know,
go to that.
You know, polyester is a fossil fuel, so maybe
that's true. That's true. And I saw a lot of fossils wearing polyester too. Just saying, you know, Pleasant Company accepted, General. So just saying. So, all right. So let's move on to the Air Force. This guy named Aaron Bushnell. Now, this guy immolated in front of the Israeli embassy. Tragic as it is, I feel sorry for his family. But Blaine, I'm going to say something controversial. I think he is a direct result, a product of not only the culture of using skin color, immutable characteristics of skin color, of who you like relating to civil rights actions, this idea that who you sleep with and what sex you identify with should be the determinant factor of your success or assignment in military. I think he's a direct result of that. What do you think?
I agree with you. This is a tragic symptom, warning sign of what's happened to our military. And certainly there's always going to be disturbed men and women that we have to address in the military. But what I think we're seeing here is something a little bit darker. I think what we're seeing is an outcropping of cultural rot, a steering away from mission focus, a steering away from constitutional values, American values. And this poor young man was led astray with indoctrination about just false narratives. And he got so activated and triggered that he took this plan of action. Our friend, Colonel John Mills, he just wrote a piece in Substack where he did a little bit of digging and found out that this young man has also had access to electronic eavesdropping of Americans through the NSA and those types of things. But if this is true, it gets me even more concerned because I wonder about his workplace. What types of culture do we find in that workplace? And is it really, are we in a place where we're setting aside the Constitution for this woke left Marxist extremism?
Well, that's why I brought up in our notes, and we did, you know, we actually do some level of prep, believe it or not. I sent him a note on the Bradley-Chelsea Manning issue.
Right.
And I would argue that Bradley Manning, he was a private, a very troubled kid who was openly gay. He eventually transitioned to be Chelsea Manning, I guess, in prison. I guess that's one of those Army benefits I didn't know about, apparently. I did not know you could transition.
Yeah. And then Obama pardoned him.
And so anyway, but my point being is that he also, without regard to the consequences of giving someone a clearance who had mental issues. And look, Blaine, truth be told, everybody thought I was crazy. Maybe it's true, but I'm not the kind of crazy that goes out and sells secrets or gives secrets away, right? I mean, there's a difference. Yeah. And it sounds like we're just giving these people who have real mental challenges access to highly classified information. What do you think?
No, I absolutely agree with that. And again, it's, my question would be, why aren't the service chiefs, the commanders, and the first sergeants hauled in front of Congress to explain how the stewardship of these people is on track and they're tracking with their service and American values? Because I don't think that those questions get answered so easily. This young man and the airman who had this happen to him, again, it gets back to this place where you and I were mollified by the outcome of Afghanistan. If we don't have accountability, if no one pays a price, then the price will keep getting paid. And it could be at the micro level with this astonishing event of this young man, or it could be just a mushrooming and a growing of wars. From Kabul, we go on to Ukraine, and now we're in Israel. And it started out innocent with some blankets and helmets for the Ukrainians, and now we're into French troops are considering being in there, and all on American projected weakness, where the academics have supplanted competent military planning and competent military advice. And this is a very dangerous place for us to be.
The DEI thing really bothers me.
Because
so much of this goes back, the very essence of the policy construct of people like Lloyd Austin and others, I think, come out of the mentality which is infected, down to the individual level, to Aaron Bushnell. By the way, I don't mean to detract, but, you know, the Austin dereliction of duty and the whole thing with surgery. I'm going to ask you a question, and maybe you as a general officer, you know, and I served in combat with Lloyd Austin. And so he was a brigadier. You're a brigadier. Mm-hmm. Did you think there's any chance that this is not about cancer, that maybe he's maybe going through and becoming, Lloyd Austin, maybe he's being Loretta Austin. Do you think he started transitioning to be a woman?
I don't know, but would that not, that would be the cake
top. I'm just wondering because it's a trend. It's a trend. I see these things.
Boy, that would be the cake topper in a year called 2024.
I think he'd look good in high heels, don't you? I mean, you know, he's a tall guy already.
Yeah, I remember I was a 141 aircraft commander, and if you remember, before they got dropped by terrorist bombs, the Alco Bar Towers in Dahran.
Yeah.
And I was staying there with one of our air crews. And if you're all staying in the same apartment instead of your own little hotel room, you get to know about people. And I remember our navigator, a big, burly man, just very good at navigation. He's sitting there in the middle of everybody while we have our pizza on the table. And he whips out his nail polish and starts painting his toenails.
Wow.
And back then in 1992, we're all just looking at him like, oh my goodness. Now, today's air crew, let's say it's a C-17 air crew sitting around the Dhaka in outside of Ukraine, they would look at something like that and go, oh yeah, that's normal. that's completely on track.
Well, I only have one thing to say to that, Blaine. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
That's right. Great song.
Moving on. So, but I do believe we're trying for the audience to outline this dark specter that has infected the entire defense establishment, essentially from the philosophy at the individual level, where you permit behavior and you rate the immutable qualities of an individual higher than actual merit or performance. And I think it's dangerous. I think, you know, I'll be blunt. I think Lloyd Austin's a diversity hire. I think he's a product of a system which rewarded essentially lack of high performance because of, you know, need for certain individuals with skin color to be put in certain positions. And I'm speaking because I know the man. It's not like I haven't served with him. This is not speculation. This is not me. And so, and I talk about it in dark heart a little bit. So let's move on to the next thing I wanted to touch base on. This is that those diversity hires have seemed to infected our entire system. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you a question. I may get you in trouble here because I'm trying to, just saying.
That's fine.
How often is it proper to go pick up Girl Scout cookies in the middle of the night? Is it okay if, you know, say, if Bonnie Willis, if she was dealing Girl Scout cookies, do you think it would be good to visit her 35 times between the hours of 11 o'clock and 4 a.m.? Is that all normal, do you think?
You know, you might want to watch your electronic footprint on something like that.
Yeah, you might want to. It's like, yeah, we use that to put people in prison. So, yeah. So
it's stunning how they really don't care what it looks like. And honestly, Tony, I chalk it all up to this massive collective arrogance.
Yeah.
They've got a two-tier justice system that they believe will continue to work for them and in their direction. But here's the thing. You've got this thing I call ROTC outside of the Beltway, rest of the country. And the rest of the country can see these things very clearly for what they are. And what we don't want in the country is financial collapse, World War III, a bunch of terrorists on our soil that are going to take us out, and this globalism that is going to alleviate us of all our rights. We do want to own stuff, and we'll decide whether or not we're happy. And and these episodes where Lloyd Austin thinks it's okay to be AWOL, and he's fine, but I would have to prosecute an airman down to out of the Air Force below the zone for that type of stuff. They don't care. They really don't care what it looks like, which makes me wonder, do they fear a ballot box? Well, that's back to what they call the big lie or the elections.
Well, you and I both know there was election fraud, and I'll touch that in a second, because this is why I wanted to go to the Fannie Willis thing, which overlaps. It's kind of a it's part of the connective tissue, the progressive left's effort to basically I don't know if because the rest of the country is watching, but you know, I mentioned the Lloyd Austin thing. You and I both know if we had anybody working for us, you'd give them at least bad paper. You'd give them at least an Article 15, at least minimum for dereliction. If it's a pattern, if it's drug related, you put them out. I mean, come on, you and I've done this. I mean, it's
you can do it in your sleep. It's not hard.
So, and then at the same time, then you've had this debacle of Afghanistan, which is linked at the beginning of the failures, serial failures of the Pentagon. That's why I want to go to Willis, because anyone else watching this, I don't even know how to describe it, because I got to tell you, it's a sick pleasure at night when I do prep. It's like, I got to watch a Fannie Willis video. This is great.
I watch.
No, I'm sitting there. Yeah, you and I watch a lot of the same folks because they're very accurate. And it's like, I'm sitting there, it's like, oh, I got to watch a Fannie Willis film. This is great. And I mean, who doesn't love this idea that you get this John Shaft looking guy who basically is cuckold. Is that the word? Can I use that word on this? I guess I can use that word.
Yeah, that's clean.
Yeah. So we're cracking the Fannie Willis thing. Oh, did I say that? I shouldn't say that. I can't say crack.
That's too much. Now you've gone overboard.
I've gone over the board. I've crossed the line.
You're in a new place.
My point being, any other sane judiciary would have said, dude, we're done here. I mean, days ago. And yet somehow, because of reasons, we're still listening to this, and the judge hasn't even ruled on it. How is this possible?
The judge who gave her campaign donations?
Yeah.
Who has history with her? Sure.
Yeah.
There's no gambling in the casino. it's ridiculous, but it is all related. And I think the words left progressive are very kind. I think it's all Marxism, and Marxists don't believe in your civil rights. They believe in theirs. They don't believe in your stuff. They believe in your stuff going to them.
I'm going with this next.
Oh yeah. They're outraged that there's a guy named Orange Man out there who is standing in between us and them. And they want to go vanquish him. And I don't know if you caught it yesterday, but another thing dropped from Hochul. Governor Hochul decided, if you truckers aren't going to deliver to New York, I might get interested in your bank accounts and your homes.
Yeah.
Now, how chilling is that?
Well, the Canadians already tried that, and they're still suffering through that. And again, that's something that, to me, is extraordinary in that I think shows a few colors. And let's go to that point, because you mentioned elections. So I look at the community where I live, and I pulse it. I try to go out, and I interact. And it's interesting that so many of the people who I think were very reliable Democrats, that is to say, certain minorities, certain groups, and I'll just use the Fannie Willis issue as a thing, certain people are appalled that people in their party are actually conducting themselves in such a manner to disrespect the Black minority. I mean, I've talked to people who are appalled, Blaine, that these people are supposed to be representative of the best of who we are.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah. They've got new friends. It's called the illegals. And San Francisco and New York are leading the way with wanting to let them vote. So if they're going to vote and they're going to do this, they've got new friends.
Yeah.
Why do they need you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're waking up to that fact. It's like, I think they've moved past this and they're on to another bright, shiny object. But that's the point. So this upcoming election, and I did want to get to this later, but let's get to it now, because I think it's adequate for the discussion. There were clear departures from normal process regarding voting in 2020.
Yep.
I personally, as you know, investigated the pallet of ballots guy, you know, Jesse Morgan. I don't want to get into that, but people can Google it. It's pretty easy to find out that Bill Barr personally, and I still don't understand what authority Bill used to get me fired, but he did, because I refused to comply with his direction to turn over a whistleblower to the FBI.
Right.
Instead of accepting the fact that maybe I had a valid point to get the guy representation and protection.
Right.
No, let's just fire Schaefer because, you know, we'll just and we'll have the knucklehead above him turn him over, which is what happened. You know, you don't have a let me ask you this. How many do you think that attorney generals just call people out of the blue if they have nothing to worry about?
Oh, you and I live in parallel worlds, brother. In 2014, when the little green men took Ukraine, and I was the dissenting voice for presidential advice, I dissented from the other generals. I was like, well, that's that. I gave my opinion. And then not 20 minutes later, seven layers up the management pole, I get a call from the White House. And I get my face ripped off for even thinking differently. Yeah.
And that's the dangerous thing is that I think we all recognize that you and I have spent collectively a lot of time in uniform.
Right.
I think we've run in a lot of the same circles, which is fun to talk about at times. But my problem is this. If you or I say something to someone, it's not because we're looking for self benefit or promotion. I admire the fact that you made it to Brigadier General and were able to put the star on. But I also recognize that once you become that level of senior, you're a danger to the infrastructure if you decide to go against it. So my kudos to you. And I've said this both privately and publicly. I admire your courage because I know a lot of generals. You and I both know a lot of generals. We talk to them often. Some are willing to come out and talk to us. Some aren't. But it just seems to me that we have a time that we have to pick sides. And the side that I've chosen to pick, I think you have too, is objective truth versus whatever opinions may be represented as aspirations of politicians. Yep. And how do we get more people to wake up to the fact that we need to step away from aspirations and focus on real facts?
That's the message. The message is that, which is if what has to happen in our country crisis-wise right now? How much closer does this republic have to get to the edge of the cliff for someone who has power and has uniform and stars and ability? How closer to the abyss before they'll actually stand up and say, you know what, I'm an American first. I have an oath to the Constitution first. And that supplants any ambition I have in my personal life, and it has to come first. If this is not that time now, then tell me what is.
Well, that point of Brisson's may well be the southwest border. So let's go there because we can't go there, but let's pretend. Yes. Shut your eyes, audience.
It's coming.
Picture being on the border, watch people with all their possessions walking across. I can picture it. I'm sure you can too. Mm-hmm. But that's where I want to take us right now. Blaine, is to the southwest border, because one of the things that was said yesterday during this thing, I think you and I have had some time now. We've probably watched Chuck Schumer came out and made this comment about it's just not the right time to fix the border.
That's right. Ukraine first.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
now, juxtapose that over the story about the Chinese redoing Glock switches so that they can turn handguns into automatic weapons and flood the country. Go ahead and juxtapose the two. And by the way, the most conservative estimate on PLA inside our country operating right now is 50,000. I know that that's just a crap number. It's probably three times that number. But think about the implications and why would they have those capabilities happening in our country right now? Why are they arming gangs and why is that okay?
Well, I know. And then one of the things I find within the same comments, you know, Joe Biden needs to have congressional action to get authority. It's like, what?
He's got the laws on his books right now. He doesn't need
literally once he dismantled over like 100 executive orders.
Right.
And one of my dear friends and I, you're going to talk to him here, I think soon, is Sergio de la Peña. Sergio being the former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Western Hemisphere. He was involved in this. They basically fixed about 80% of this. They didn't fix everything. Yeah. But Biden himself personally dismantled all of that coming into office. So it's kind of like, really?
Yeah.
They broke it. And now this goes back to the objective reality versus aspirations. Anybody who takes 10 minutes and studies what we're talking about will find that they have created this problem for purposes of trying to fix it, and that the legislation they use will simply create a hardened path for illegal aliens to come in. It's not about stopping, it's about hardening it, right?
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. But, you know, a lot of people scoff at President Trump and they say, no, we can't do a mass deportation. Look, we have no choice. If we want to survive, we have no choice, because what's about to happen to our cities, we're going to see that in the cities first, and then we're going to see it in the rest of the country. But I think Americans are in for a very rude awakening in the next few months.
They are. And so we're going to take a break. This is The Hard Truth, Tony Schaefer, about halfway through. We'll be right back, continuing this lively conversation with Brigadier General Retired Blaine Holt of Restore Liberty. And we'll be talking more about the future. There's some things coming up, I think, that the American people need to be aware of. We're going to try to provide a little bit of a soothsaying, if you will, about what's coming. So we'll be right back.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on americaoutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, americaoutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud for 25% off.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Hey, it's the Hard Truth, Tony Schaefer, part two. Still powered by 6 Hour, never settle. I had a choice of what I carried in combat. I always carried the best. I highly recommend you carry the best, just like Brigadier General Blaine Holt and I carry 6 Hour. He carries his 365, so do I. I carry some other things as well. So anyway, never settle. We're on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, also available on the America Out Loud Podcast Network. Check us out, Project Sentinel, projectsentinel.com.net, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Rumble. And of course, as always, a special shout out to Cherie Curry. Cherie does our bumper and theme music. God bless you, Cherie. Cherie's out a little bit fed up with California. Just go check out her Facebook if you want to know what I mean. So, you know, you can only go woke for so long before you're just like, I'm out of here. So Cherie is getting fed up. That's right. So we are now joined by the erudite Elizabeth Breckenkamp for part two of the show, and the sagacious Chris Cordani, and just the Donish.
We're bringing the toxic masculinity here.
That's right. And then, of course, the ever Donish. The ever Donish Brigadier General Blaine Holt. And Donish is actually a word. I didn't know that.
That is a word. Yeah.
It is a word.
Even in Georgia, we use that word.
It's the word for the day.
Yeah.
Look at words. Up. You know, we're trying to improve the vocabulary of everybody who tunes in. So we're going to continue with General Holt. Blaine, as we ended the first part of the show, we were talking about the Southwest border. And let's begin with that so we can roll into some other things. But I do believe that at this point, every community in the nation, either because of illegals murdering people like in Georgia, like in Florida, or the pervasive and sustained penetration of fentanyl into every community in the United States. And fentanyl, the origins are China. I think most roads lead back to China at this point. What do you think?
No, I agree. And I think if you took a military planner's analysis to this, you can start to see the plan against the United States through our southern border pretty clearly now in their lines of operation. You've got the Chinese PLA is definitely here now. You've got fentanyl and their alliance with the cartels. So they have distribution networks that don't just lend themselves to drugs, but they lend themselves to weapons as well, as we were discussing. But then when you take a look at the international organizations laid over the top of that, which would be the United Nations, funded by the non-governmental organizations, funded by us, the taxpayers, what they're doing is they've created these bank card systems where they can flood the nation with these illegals, most of them fighting age men, by the way. And so now you can see the ability for your enemy to start the triggering. So the triggering to me looks this way. I cut your money off. The UN cuts the funds off. And now you've got all these people in these hotels pent up in these cities with nothing. Then they're going to go get something. That's your stuff. That creates the chaos. The chaos is a nice camouflage for the terror groups that came in across that border. And then they get after those operations. Then you've got political stability units in the PLA, whether they're arming gangs around us or whether they're going after things like water, your infrastructure, cyber, your power grid. That is a four-pronged access that we face now coming up through the border. So what I would say is anybody who's sworn oath to this Constitution and their weakest excuse down on that border is, well, I have a mortgage and a kid, so I just have to do what they say, but I'll break the law. Well, this will come out one day because this is what you're enabling.
Well, two things before I let Elizabeth jump in, because I need to. One of the things that most impressed me about you, sir, with all due respect, was when we were on our first interview together on Newsmax, and we somehow got on the topic of the Chinese trying to undermine Western currency as a main objective. And you were like spot on. It's like, holy cow, this general knows what he's talking about. I don't know if you remember that interview, but it was kind of like we started a riff back and forth. Like, oh, my God, you know, this is real stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was very impressed by the fact that you understand it. Many others don't. That the very targeting of our currency, of the petrodollar, is a national security threat.
Right.
How do people not recognize that if the value of our currency drops out, we drop out as a superpower?
How is it okay for military leaders not to understand the economics of the world that we live in right now and how their lines of operations? Because then you'll get military leaders who will sit there and say, oh, well, the border's not my problem. Economics, that would be the Treasury Department. Go see somebody else. Yeah. And it's like, no. You have the whole basket in your hands. If it's a national security issue, you need to be a student of it. And I think I'm very happy that you highlighted that. Now, the nice thing for all of us is China's going down the commode. It just makes them really dangerous right now.
Well, that's the thing too, and we could probably talk about it a bit. One other thing, Elizabeth. Sorry, it's my show. I get
that's okay.
It's
your show.
It is my show, so I can. I'm using my host prerogative. So, speaking of the Southwest border, you know, one of my assignments at the, back in the '90s was as the senior clandestine advisor to the J2, the N2, Navy of Joint Interagency Task Force East, JADF East, which is now JADF South in Key West. And by the way, Key West is a cool place to be assigned. Don't let anybody kid you. It's fun. Anyway, as I was there advising, one of the things we recognized in the mid-90s after we had defeated, one of the untold stories of DOD is that we were instrumental in helping DEA, U.S. Customs Service, take out the Medellin and Cali cartels. There's a great book out by my friend Mark Bowden called Killing Pablo. You know, we can actually do things as a military when we set our mind to it. So the idea was, hey, let's go get rid of the cartels. And it's like, okay, we'll do that. And we did it. The problem was we didn't understand the consequences of actually taking out the two lead organizations. You basically shattered it. So there's a million more. It's kind of basically the multi-headed Hydra. You cut three heads off, six come back. So. Yeah. We didn't get that. And that's why I don't think they want to talk about it. But my point to you, General, is that we recognized during the process of doing these operations, Mexico was going to become destabilized. And oh, by the way, it's going to become a safe haven for not only drug cartels, but any number of illegal activities. And yet somehow this assessment fell on deaf ears and nobody wanted to hear about the fact that Mexico was going in that direction. And my question to you is, how is it that we have so many senior leaders in DOD, in the political process, that's not willing to listen and look at facts as they are regarding the trends? Because now here we are. Mexico's destabilized, and we're looking at real that they're an enemy at our border right now.
Sure. So if you look at that, I'll just be very blunt. There's no money. There is no money in a war or in military operations that stabilize Mexico and stabilize us with Mexico. So if you're going to go after the cartels, you don't need a $3 billion bomber. You don't need a molecular vaporizer or some future weapon system. But if you're going to fight overseas wars with nuclear powers, you need all those things. So that's where the money is. So then you get this class of general officers and military leaders in suits who will look lovingly at the military industrial complex, and they'll just simply go, you know, one day, if I just shut my mouth, I can revolve into a board assignment with Northrop Grumman or some other company at $400,000 a year for showing up for three meetings. Who doesn't want that? But the problem is now you're conflicted on best military advice to the nation. If these neocons who just lust for war, and they really lust for dollars, not the war, but if they lust for war, then look no further than our backyard in America, because there's plenty of it there. We probably should be at war right now with the cartels as transnational actors. We probably should be chopping off the Chinese from climbing up into our inner south. Yet there's no money in any of that. The big money is sitting in Europe, and it's sitting down in the Middle East right now.
Now, Tony Zinni, General Zinni, told me that he was disgusted when he was He's look, I'll man. Just be blunt. He was the CEO of the BAE. Yep. And he said that he got fed up with the fact that his job was not to actually do what's necessary to help U.S. and NATO allies protect their nations. His job was to grow their income by 7% per year as a corporation.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to go off. Sorry, Elizabeth. Over to you.
No, that's okay. So, I mean, there's like so many points that he had brought up, but, you know, going back to how recently the Army had said, you know, they had announced that they're cutting about 25% because they can't recruit, you know, because they're more and more woke and they're more concerned with paying for people's sex change surgeries and all this kind of stuff. But so when I was in, you know, I joined in 1992 and I retired just 3 years ago. What I remember, and I wanted to look it up again to see if they still have it, and yes, at least for the Army. I don't know about the other branches, but for the Army, and Tony, I know you would remember this. Remember, we would have this training. It was always ongoing. And they took the acronym LEADERSHIP, LDRSHIP. And remember, each letter stood for something. I know you would still remember. L is for loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service.
They had to give you little cards with it. Yes. Little green cards with white print.
We carried the cards around. We even had the look. And it was really instilled in us that each one of those values actually meant something. And remember what the P stands for. Personal courage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of funny. It's like, seems like you'd have C for, but anyway, but I thought, let me see what thearmy.com says, and they still have it there, but this is interesting. I want to read this. Personal courage, physical and moral, has been associated with our Army. With physical courage, it's a matter of enduring physical duress and at times risking your own personal safety.
Yeah.
Facing moral fear or adversity may be a long, slow process of continuing forward on the right path, especially if taking those actions is not popular with others. You can build your personal courage by daily standing up for and acting upon the things that you know are honorable. And that, I think, is why it's so hard to recruit pretty much anybody today, in the, at least in the, all the, our legal citizens, because a lot of people don't have that value instilled in them, or they don't see how it's relevant to them. Or, you know, like I know we'd said this before in previous shows, a lot of people look at their country and they say, well, I wouldn't want to go defend my country because, you know, so many of these younger kids aren't even told to love their country. So I thought that was interesting. That's what it says on army.mil/values. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was interesting. Acting upon the things you know are honorable. And I don't, what do you think about that?
General Holt.
Civics and history were ripped out of our schools for decades. And those are the foundational building blocks that allow somebody to think in terms of something that's bigger than themselves, of doing the right thing when no one's looking. Ethics certainly left the train station decades ago. And so when you erode those things, and it's really, these are Marxist precepts to erode those things so that your allegiance is really to the state, whatever you're told. And it's very Machiavellian. The way to right the ship is not to decrease force structure in the Army by 24,000. Tough medicine that I would bring in is to create more stakeholders, and doing that by having a blind draft, meaning you're in. Let's have a 2-year public service campaign. You're in, you're drafted. I don't care if you're the son of or the daughter of a congressman, or you went to Yale or any of that stuff. We're not going to play the Vietnam game. You're actually just in. Now, when it's just like in COVID, when we brought all our kids home from school and we got to look into their classrooms on a Zoom screen, we went, oh my God, what are they teaching my child? It's the same type of honesty.
People finally realized what was happening when they were forced to stay home. Which,
and if America has skin in the game and they understand that their kids enjoy the ultimate liability for going to some stupid war that some neocon wants, Americans will wake up and go, this could get my kid killed. And it's like, welcome, breathe oxygen. Wouldn't you rather your kid be steeped in constitutional values at this point in time, and us have a more discerning conversation about when to go to war, when not to go to war, what deterrence is, than the current industrial complex that we have in a all-volunteer complex where nobody can hear you scream?
When you were talking about courage, the only thing I can think of is the exact opposite of courage. And that would be a man who's stepping down from the Senate Republican leadership in November. That would be one Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes. So there's somebody who I know there's a good chance he's compromised, and we can get into all of that and we could talk about that. That's going to be a whole other show. But the fact is, a quick question for all of you is, we need somebody to step in who has some of the courage. And what are the chances that's going to happen? This is a pre-Tony's take, I guess.
That's a good question,
if you will. Right.
Well, Blaine, what do you think? I mean, I think Speaker Johnson so far has done a pretty good job, but I'm not sure if he's the answer.
Mensa, but look, he's not a communist. That's a good thing. On the Senate side, we've got young bucks who could get up there and probably do a great job. The problem is the industry that is the Beltway, the industry that is the deep state, will now quickly want to fill that gap and pre-select who that person that's going to be like Mitch is. And there'll likely be somebody who's compromised. There'll likely be somebody who will do the go along, get along thing as long. And even even Schumer is going to weigh in with the Republican Party on who that is, because the Republican Party is really two parties right now. There's the uniparty side that respects all things Washington, D.C., and says audacious things like Ukraine is more important than the United States southern border. And then there's constitutional Americans who represent the rest of the country. They have a smaller voice. Hopefully the next presidential election changes some of that if we actually get to have an election. But I think McConnell coming out is very telling, because I think we're going to learn some things about Ukraine and some of these other things in the coming days that will make it a very uncomfortable position for him to be in.
Speaking of that, real quick on the issue of Schumer, Blaine, would you support the idea of tactically deploying Amy Schumer and tactical gear to Ukraine? Do you think that's a good idea?
Oh, totally a great idea. Skin in the game, get her there. Like, run her right out there.
I think she'd look good in battle dress or whatever we could find to fit her.
It's possible. I'm going to say it's probably not going to end up that way, but look, you know, President Zelensky's made a complete brand out of an olive drab sweatshirt, and I think he's in a lot of trouble as we get going. Look, if you look at the New York Times article just 2 days ago, it really said the quiet part out loud. All of the information is out there for you. The CIA has admitted to all their shenanigans going back to 2014. So why would we continue down this track without a careful analysis as to who stoked the war in Ukraine? I think it's time for the truths to come out, because I think the truths are what help us avoid a nuclear war. I'll tell you what, and all of these leaders, they've got some sort of problem, in air quotes, with Ukraine and its casino-like corruption features. And again, would we really go to war when we have a president's son and a president who have conflicts of interest sitting there inside of Ukraine? Well, yeah. It happens on both sides. I think that New York Times article should be the catalyst to a very careful examination about what are we doing and who here needs to be held accountable for this 10-year saga called Ukraine.
And by the way, just for the audience to understand, at this point, this article's been out. Nobody's disputed it. And yet it's got virtually no play anywhere, which is like frightening. And to that point, I've said a number of times publicly, this war is all about resources and influence within the EU. The EU is using this to their advantage. The United States really thought they could move Ukraine out of the sphere of the Soviet Union or Russia, whatever you want to call it. And what really promulgated this, I believe, is the resources. There were massive resources of gas and oil found 2012, 2013, which is like, oh, this is a great opportunity for the EU to use Ukraine, not Russia, as an energy partner. And by the way, we can destabilize Russia. Yeah.
Right. Well, it is about that time again, gentlemen.
Is it really?
That's right. It is time for Tony's Takes.
Oh, my.
And I have to tell you, we can always string this in, because as Mitch McConnell would say, well, we need Ukraine because that's about all the money we send goes to Americans, American contractors, defense people. That's right. I have to stick these Mitch McConnell impersonations in before November, I guess, right?
That's very good.
But let's get to Tony's Takes, and that's powered by Sig Sauer. Never settle.
Never.
I don't think the Democrats are settling. There are a couple of there are a couple of new candidates in the Democratic primary landscape now. Okay. One's a recycled one, and one's somebody who just came out of nowhere. Mm. There's a guy named Yunk, I believe, is Yunk Amadid, right? Uncommitted. Okay, that's it.
Well played, sir. Well played.
He seems to have done fairly well in the Democrat primary, beating out Biden in a large place like Dearborn, with about 100,000 of its voters piling on for this interesting opponent. Perhaps Uncommitted has a good shot at winning this Democratic primary. What's your take?
So my take is this. I think this is indicative of that. If things don't go better for the Democrats, you're going to see flying monkeys used as a weapon of mass destruction during the general election. I think Nancy Pelosi is now arming up, beating up, and preparing for mass deployment of flying monkeys. I think that's what's about to happen.
Yeah. Dogs and cats living together type stuff here. None of them want to face. None of them want to face accountability, and so I think the lawfare is going to go up. Yeah. Get Trump at any possible way. And it's not just that he's got detractors in the Democrat Marxist camp. He's got detractors in the Uniparty side from the Republican Party. And so it's going to be an amazing year. I'll tell you what, though, it's baked into the cake. Americans are going to feel some pain in the next few months in a variety mm-hmm. of ways that we've been talking about here. Yep. And that's going to change the cocktail.
But Blaine, let me ask you a question related to this. That number of, I think it was 16%, that would end the Democrats' ability to control Michigan if you have that many defections from Biden.
If they'll have elections where you don't come in at 3 a.m. and tape paper all over the windows, yes, it could actually make a difference.
And it's been virtually no reporting on this by the left, because I think they're actually like, they don't want to talk about it.
Oh, they're freaking out.
Let's add another couple points to that, because,
all right.
By the way, how bad is Dean Phillips doing? He just got a whole boatload of money, and he finished behind Marianne Williamson, who, by the way, is now back in the race.
I like
Marianne. Unsuspended her campaign. This might be fun. And maybe she saw how good this Junk committed is doing, and maybe she can beat him next election. We'll see. The other thing is, there are a lot of Democrats who jumped ship and voted for Nikki Haley, just to try to kneecap Donald Trump a little bit, and we saw how that went. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. What I'm going to ask both of you, and again, I want your takes, or all of you, all three, I want your takes on this. Here's my assessment. This is a message from the pro-terrorist wing of the Democrat Party. It might be a small wing, but let's just put it this way. It's a large enough wing to control which way the Democrat Party is going. Am I far off on this, or am I not?
I think you're right on the money. I think this is what has pulled them into this Marxism space. But going along down the lines of the origins of that terrorism, go to Palestinian terrorism, where mm-hmm. a lot of these folks hail from, and it's all Marxist precepts. That's what all of this is. And they're beholden to it. They're shackled to it. But they're shackled to it in a variety of ways, Chris. It's not just that's where our dollars for elections are coming from. That would actually be innocent. These folks are compromised. They're extorted. They're blackmailed. There is a mess, a hot mess over there. And what I would love to see is true, honest, liberal Democrats, miss them, come to the foray and say, we didn't sign up for this. Look, I get it. I disagree with Republicans, but that's not what we are. And they should really step up.
Well, never fear, because Biden has told Seth Meyers that he has his 2020 campaign strategy ready to go.
He does.
Oh, good.
Well, speaking of a campaign, I think we didn't actually address Nikki Haley adequately. You know, Gordon Gekko, a.k.a. Governor Newsom, said the quiet part out loud that she is the best proxy for the Democrats, one of the best. And Blaine, I'm going to do my own kind of out of the going left here, so to speak. Do you think there's any chance that Justin Trudeau and Governor Newsom may hook up at some point and like marry? Because those guys are like, they must be, you know, it's like narcissists, you know, they would love each other.
There's a lot of frustration in between the two of them.
I think narcissists are naturally attracted to each other. Yeah.
They can do each other's hair.
That's true. Yeah. And eyebrows. They could do their eyebrows together.
It's great hair. It is. No, there's a lot of frustration.
Yeah, I think Nikki Haley refuses to give up, because I think she's got to be self-aware enough to realize that she won't win, but she's going to divide enough people to prevent Orange Man from winning. You know what I mean? It's kind of like
she thinks she is.
No, she's
she's bringing in Democrats. Basically, her strength is coming from Democrats who wouldn't vote for him anyway.
Right.
I have 2 minutes with the military men.
Chris, hold on. Oh. I can't believe you used Democrats and strength in the same sentence. I can't believe you said
that. They can lift up all that soy. So that's about it.
That's a lot of soy.
Lift their soy lattes and things like that.
That's a lot of soy.
I have the military men for 2 minutes and the military lady, all three of you. So here it is. Soy quick, soy. Tony's, Blaine's, and Elizabeth's take right now. Best ever military-based comedy show.
Oh, that's easy. I'll let everybody else go first.
I have to say MASH.
Okay.
I think that was so funny.
Blaine, you want to go next, or you want me to do it?
Yeah,
please don't say Mikhail's Navy.
I am going with McHale's Navy. There's no way you could get me out of McHale's Navy.
I have to go with the Phil Silvers Show.
See, I'm going with Hogan's Heroes. I love Hogan's Heroes.
That's a good one.
I love Hogan.
Yeah. I didn't know if F Troop would count, because if F Troop counted, that was going to be me. But
that counts. No, F Troop counts as military. Yeah. Calgary counts as military.
Ken Berry.
There we go.
I thought we were going to talk about the best rat. I gave away my answer. One of the best 60s combat show, which was the Rat Patrol.
Oh, I loved that.
I loved Sergeant Troy.
Never missed it.
I'm surprised nobody said At Ease. The very short-lived one with David Naughton and Jimmy Walker.
Yep.
I missed that combat? One. That was so short-lived. I didn't even get that. Well, that's it. I guess we're going to wrap up now, right, Chris? Is it that
I think
time?
We are. Yeah, wow. I believe so.
It's been a lightning hour, and obviously, I always appreciate I'm saying this because I really do appreciate the friendship and mentorship of the general. People like me who have been off the reservation need to be pulled back on once in a while. So, General, I appreciate your being able to do that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you all, and what a fun sandbox to play in for the afternoon. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And I think at the time we're taping this, there's a lot of chaos on the horizon. We see the storm clouds, and I encourage people to watch Blaine on all the social media and programs he's on. He's been able to be way ahead of the curve, like many of us are. And as Trent Lott once told me, being right ahead of time in Washington is never a good thing. Right, Blaine?
Oh, yeah. It'll get you hurt.
we love pain, so we're going to continue to do it.
Bring it.
check back here next week. We'll be back with another episode of The Hard Truth. We'll see you then.